How wonderful it is this morning that we can come together and worship the bright and the morning star, our loving Lord, the chief shepherd, the light of life, the bread of life, and that we can call upon him, and that he is just a prayer away. He is. You know, that's the one of the greatest avenues that you and I have this morning, is being able to call upon God. You know, we make a lot of calls in our life. How many of you have cell phones? Would you please turn them off? How many of you have ever had to call 911? My goodness, you folks got some problems. You know, we make a lot of calls in life. We do. I suppose probably all of us at one time, maybe, or another. If you hadn't called 911, you probably should have, or maybe wanted to. A dispatcher one time received a call at 911, and the dispatcher said, "What is the nature of your emergency?" The caller said, "Well, I'm trying to reach 911, but my phone doesn't have an 11 on it." The dispatcher said, "This is 911. The caller said, "I thought you said it was 911. The dispatcher said, "Yes, ma'am, 911 and 911 are the same thing." And the blonde said, "Honey, I may be old, but I ain't stupid." Now, we've all probably made a lot of calls in our life. How many of you have ever gotten a wrong number when you dialed it? How many of you have ever received a call from someone and you were the wrong number? That happens too, doesn't it? It does. How did you respond to it? Sometimes people get real irritated about it. There was a man one time and a couple of his friends who had just finished a round of golf out at the country club. And they were changing their shoes when a cell phone on the bench by him rang. The man picked it up and answered it. The woman on the other end said, "Hi, honey." The man replied, "Well, hello, honey. I was just calling to tell you about this fur coat I found today. It's a beautiful fox fur, and I just love the way it looks on me. It's on sale, too, a real bargain. It's down to $2,000 from $4,000. Can I get it?" The man thought about it for a second and said, "Sure, sounds like a good deal to me." The woman said, "Oh, that's great, honey." He said, "I guess you can get it." Well, the woman continued, "Oh, and you know how we've been thinking about getting rid of that Lexus that we have and getting that new Jaguar? Well, I went to the dealership today and the guy gave me a real good deal. He said he'd lower the price from $50,000 to $35,000 just for me. Can I get it?" The man thought a little harder and said, "Well, if you're sure it's a good deal, then yes, go ahead and get it." Well, the woman continued, "Oh, one last thing, honey." He said, "You remember that house that we saw last month and we really liked it but decided that we'd wait and really think about it? Well, it's on the market again, so I checked the price, and it's down to $450,000, and I checked with the bank, and we have enough money in the checking account, so that is it all right with you if I write a check and go ahead and get it?" And the man got a frown on his face and said, "Well, see if you can get them down to $420,000. If they'll go that much," he says, "go ahead and get it." And the woman was extremely excited. "Okay, honey. Thank you so much. I'll see you when I get home. Bye." The man said bye. He hung up the phone and looked at the other men and said, "Does anyone know whose cell phone this might be?" Now, we've all gotten the wrong number, and we've all called the wrong number before, but let me ask you a question this morning. What if God was on the caller ID? Would you answer the call, or would you decline it? You know, we all look at our caller ID every now and then, and what if you walked in one day and the phone rang and you looked on that caller ID and it said, God in heaven? How would you react to such a call? You know, a lot of people think that they're away from the call of God, that there is no way that God can reach us. But in Psalms 139, and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heavens, thou art there, or if I make my bed in hell, behold, even thou art there. I have news for all of you this morning, and those who may be listening on the internet this coming week. God can reach you wherever you are. And He will call you back. He's got your number. As a matter of fact, I mean, He's even got call forwarding. He knows where you are. And He will ultimately find you. And you can either accept or reject the call. In Psalms 24, verse 3 through 5, David said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor one who hath sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, if God were to call you, and I'm going to tell you something, I believe that God does call us at times. We may not be aware that it is God who is calling us. He may call us through another individual. He may be calling you through this gospel sermon today. He may be calling you by someone who is your friend or someone who might say something to you. You know, God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. But I know one thing, that if God gives you a call, it is for one of four reasons. It is. Now, let me share those with you this morning. I will tell you, first of all, that if God calls you, He might be calling to change your direction or rearrange your direction. You know, we all sometimes chart our own course in life, or we determine where we're going to walk or how we're going to live or where we're going to go or where we're not going to go. And sometimes people believe that that's acceptable to God. But that really isn't the case at all. For in the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the prophet said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Now, if you were reading that in a different translation, it might read this way, I know, Lord God, that the road on which I am walking does not belong to me, and that I cannot be my own guide. Keep me on track, Lord, but be gentle, for your anger would destroy me. I have learned one thing in life, believe it or not, whether you believe it's true or not, every person needs spiritual direction. Now, a lot of people want direction when they determine if they're going to get a job at a certain place or if they're going to go to a certain higher education, a school of higher education, or if you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a house, whatever you're going to do, you want to make sure that you have the right directive. But why is it that in today's world, people believe that they can chart their own spiritual direction and that God ought to be satisfied with it? It is impossible to do so. So the prophet said, cannot do it. If you are not happy with your life, then you ought to make some changes. And if things aren't going your way, then you ought to change your direction. Now, that's what God says to us often. And if you cannot find happiness in others, then perhaps you might look within yourself. If I were to ask you this morning, are you happy? Many of you probably would say, no, I'm unhappy about life. Maybe the reason that you're unhappy, and I'm not talking about physical things, and I'm not talking about things that perhaps sometimes people say that you can change. But there are so many things in our life that we can change. And sometimes we blame other people for the problems that we encounter in life. Sometimes we have to look inward at our life. Even those who followed Jesus in the first century understood that. Change yourself. You see, because the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. And that's a big difference. It is. You see, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. And I'm going to tell you this morning that God's way is still the best way. It is. It is the way to life eternal. Disappointments are God's way of saying, I have something better. It is true. Sometimes when we get disappointed in life over issues that affect us and things that happen to us, do you realize that sometimes those disappointments may be God calling you? God may be calling you through disappointments in life, and He does. Often He does. And He says, I have something better for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's hard for us to see that from our vantage point at times. It's hard for us to accept that because we cannot see how things could ever get better. We think things could never get worse sometimes. But we rationalize in our mind, how in the world can things ever be better? But we have to trust God. And so sometimes He calls to get us to change our direction. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're walking in the wrong way and you need to turn around. But there's a second reason that God calls us, and that is to get us to rearrange our priorities. If I were to ask you this morning individually, what are your priorities in life? What really is important to you? What would you say? Many of us would say, God's priority, He's on top shelf. He's number one. But is He really number one in your life? Is what you do, does it stack up with what you say? If you say, well, my family is priority to me. I know what God says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, that my family should be priority, but is your family priority with you? Every one of us has a clock. One of the biggest misnomers in our life is this statement. I don't have time. And the reason I say it's a misnomer is because you do have time. You do. I have time. You have time. It's what you do with that time. It's how you prioritize your time and what really is important to you. And I'm going to tell you something. The way that you spend the time on your clock will be a reflection of what is priority to you. Now, God calls us sometimes to get us to rearrange us, and we have to really assess ourselves and stop and say, hey, you know what? Maybe God hadn't been number one this week, and I need to change that. The real tragedy is when people look at that and they say, I know He hasn't been number one, but I just can't change it this week. Yes, you can. For when you change your priorities, you change your life. If you really want to change your life, change what is important to you. Maybe we should ask ourselves the question, is God's will on my agenda? Is it? Is coming to worship on your agenda? How often do I come to worship? It's an indication of what's on your agenda, you see. What will be on your agenda tonight at 6 o'clock when the church meets here? What will be on your agenda? We should make God first priority, not your last resort. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 6 and 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these things, God will... Let me tell you something. When you seek the kingdom of God first, God will put you as priority number one. That's hard for some people to accept and believe. But why would we expect God to put us as priority number one when we're not ready to place Him at the head of our list, in the head of our agenda? Someone said, if you put God first, you will never be last. And you won't. You won't. The Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 says, commit yourselves unto the Lord. Whatever you do and all of your plans will succeed. Proverbs 16:3. Many of us, however, do not commit ourselves unto the Lord. But we should. Now, God calls us to rearrange our priorities. And it's not enough to look at the list and say, hey, you know what? My priorities are out of sync. They're just not where they ought to be. And then not change it. The Bible says, for a man who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. There's another reason God calls us. Maybe to rebuke you. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we all think we're so great in life, and I can't imagine anyone rebuking us. Did you know the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, says, preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the hearing of the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now that's what God says. He says you rebuke with the word of God. A lot of people don't like rebuke. God calls to rebuke us sometimes, however. He does. When He sees that we are wrong, the time of rebuking will come. And He may rebuke you in a lot of ways. I'm not saying God's going to look down from heaven and just smite you on the face, or that He's going to hit you. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that when God rebukes us, I think He does it in a lot of ways. He may, you know what? He may rebuke you financially. He may rebuke you to the point that you cannot rob Peter anymore to pay Paul. He may rebuke you by you having problems at your place of employment when you don't put Him first. He may rebuke you by your neighbors, by your family members. God rebukes. I've learned this through the scripture, that God in times past has rebuked people in many different ways. And I'm convinced He still does it. And for all of those who say today, well, God doesn't do that anymore, that's facetious. God does rebuke. And He may rebuke you through a sermon or something that just comes to your mind, all of a sudden, out of the blue. Or something that might happen. Something you may watch on television or be listening to on the radio. God rebukes us in a lot of ways. Sometimes we don't understand it when it happens. But it happens. But not only does He call us to get us to change our direction or rearrange our priorities or to rebuke us, but He calls us sometimes, fourthly, to reassure us that He loves us. You know, there are times when we all have to say to one another, I love you. When was the last time you said that to your wife? Wouldn't it be a good time right now to turn to your wife and say, honey, I love you? Make sure it's your wife who's sitting by you. When was the last time you said it to your husband? Honey, I love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have life everlasting. John 3 and verse 16. In our ever-changing world, it is reassuring to know that Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and that God is love. God is love. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says, whosoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. Great attribute of our Father who is in heaven. And He says in the book of Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, even though God calls us, He asks us to call upon Him. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And then in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, there's greater emphasis here because the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Sometimes we think we have all that we need to know or that we are fully equipped. And yet God says, call upon me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great things that you don't even know about. And He does. Let me just ask you a few questions this morning in closing. Number one, how do you see God right now? Shouldn't we really see Him for who He is? Some people say, well, I can't hear God. I can't see God. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth or the firmament showeth His handiwork, and that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Question number 2. What are you planning to do for God this week? If He's on your agenda, if He is number one on your agenda, what do you plan on doing for Him this week? Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The time is now to serve God, isn't it? Not at some future time. The Lord wrote a specific letter to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation chapter 13. Who thought they were just great and everything was going well? And you know what? God writes unto them, the angel of the Lord wrote unto the church of Laodicea, and he said, write these things, amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that you would be cold or hot. Because you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, we got a lot of lackadaisical Christians in the world today. Neither cold nor hot. They're not really turned off God, but they're not really turned on to Him. They're not like Jeremiah, who said, there is a fire that burns within me, and that is God. What are you planning on doing for God this week? Question number 3. When will you start talking to others about God in an effort to save their souls? To save their souls. The Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. There is an SOS that goes out from heaven. That is the salvation of souls. That's what we are about. Someone you know that is not a Christian, that is not a child of God, is lost. Are you content to let them stay lost? Are you content to allow them to go to hell without ever breathing the name of Jesus in their presence? Or mentioning the hope of heaven that comes through Christ? Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, to come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You see, our focus ought to be on evangelism. Someone asked me one time, they said, well, what is the focus of your church? What are y'all all about? I looked at him and I said, evangelism. But I'm going to tell you something. There are very few churches in this world today that are focused on evangelism. We're focused on trying to keep everybody happy in the church and keep everybody charmed and make everybody feel good. But isn't the focus on reaching the lost with the gospel? Isn't that what we are about? Isn't that our mission? And shouldn't that be on our agenda? And when we sin, we should not make excuses, but we should make haste to repent and ask for the forgiveness of God. We should repent and do the works of God before it's too late. Acts 2 and verse 38. The Bible says that we are to repent and be converted, that our sins may be blotted out. Let me tell you something. For those of you here this morning that think you cannot change, you can change. The Bible says, to him that received him gave he the power to become the sons of God, to as many as believe on his name. God has given you the power to do so. And remember, he's calling. He is. Many of you this morning might truthfully and honestly say, my life is on empty. My life is empty. There is nothing that I have to live for. But is it on empty? Can't you fill it up with the Spirit of God? You should. If you want to see eye to eye with God, it begins with obeying the gospel of Christ. You can take care of that empty feeling, and you can be filled with the Spirit according to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Did you realize that God is calling you at times during the singing of an invitation hymn? Sometimes people think that's just a traditional thing that we do when we come together at the close of every service. When we offer an invitation appeal, that it's just something that is proper etiquette. We do that at the end of the service because we've always done it. No. That's not why it's done. It's done because John would write to the church in Revelation. And he would say that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come and take of the fountain of the water of life freely. It behooves us to extend an invitation to those who are outside of Christ to become children of God. And for those who are Christians who have strayed away from God, it behooves us to offer that invite. Our invitation to people to become Christians. It is so important. God calls us during an invitation song. But you know what? You know what happens? Sometimes when we stand and sing that invitation song, some people realize that it's God calling, that he's on the ID. But we decline the call. We decline it. But God is calling. How will you answer him? Will you answer? Or will you refuse to take his call? He's waiting for an answer. Are you just going to put him on hold again? Are you? Will you arise and be baptized this morning for the remission of your sins? Acts 2 and verse 38. Your time is now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. But Paul said to the church at Corinth, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Time is now. You hear the phone ringing? You hear God calling? If He is calling, maybe we've got it on silent. Maybe that's the reason we don't hear it. And if it suddenly appears on the caller ID, we're not ready to take the call. You know, sometimes people call and we choose not to take their calls. But you should never refuse to take the call from your Maker. He has something important to say. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, He is calling you. It may not be the last time He will call, but you may never hear the call again. For your voice may be silent, and you may decline that call for the last time. And what a tragedy. If you're a Christian and you realize that God may be speaking to you this morning, God may be calling you, and you know that things are not right between you and God, communication line broke down a long time ago. Shouldn't there be a restoration? Shouldn't you get back on the level of prayer with God? You just keep turning Him off. Well, you're going to have a choice this morning, because Sam has selected an invitation song. And there is a fountain free, 'tis for you and me, the song says. Will you come? And that's what God's saying from heaven this morning. Will you come while we stand and while we sing?